Welcome back to Talking Baseball. Bill Lasky here in San Francisco as we entertain the Miami Marlins on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. As well as the start's going to be 6:05 tonight at Oracle Park. And last week, as well as this week, I'm going to bring in my good friend who's the color analyst for Fox Sports Florida for the Miami Marlins. Let's welcome Todd Hollingsworth to the program again. How are you doing today, Todd?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be with you.
Well, Todd, you know, you were a 1996 National League Rookie of the Year. I want to talk a little bit about this. You were the fifth straight consecutive Dodger to win that award behind Eric Karros, Mike Piazza, Raul Mondesi, and Hideo Nomi. When you look at that award and how you played your rookie year, tell me your first thought that comes to your head.
Well, every game was a playoff game. It's amazing. I guess that's the way that I feel. And you know, it's different because of COVID and everything else that we've lived through the last couple of seasons. You know, we talked to so many of our young guys, our young Marlins, and, you know, they're being kind of raised in a different dynamic with, you know, very few fans in the stands. And there's something to that in learning how to be a big leaguer. And I just think it's such an interesting dynamic. I remember, you know, one of my first ball games being in Candlestick Park against the Giants as a Dodger, and you know, a sold-out crowd with Tommy Lasorda leading the way out of the dugout. And it just was an amazing, you know, atmosphere to grow up in. And, of course, intense, immense pressure that comes along with, you know, playing in those types of, you know, environments. And so Dodger Stadium's no different. You know, you go to opening day, you're talking 50,000-plus, and, you know, you're not only trying to prove to everybody in the world and your teammates and the organization that drafted you that, or gave you the chance, I should say, that you belong and that you're a big leaguer, but you've got to go out on center stage. And, you know, there's nothing about that dynamic that any of us ever practices. And that's the thing that I think is so interesting. We talk, you know, early career success for players. It's a very interesting dynamic because, you know, in the minor leagues, you're still not playing in front of 50,000. If you're in a few choice places, you might be playing in front of 15,000. But that's about the extent of it. And you get to the big leagues, and all of a sudden the lights get brighter and you add another deck.
Well, I tell you what, 23 years old, 12 home runs, 26 doubles, 4 triples, .291 average, 21 stolen bases right then and there. A successful rookie year, I would say.
Well, it was. I had great, as I call them and I talk about them on air all the time, older brothers. And, you know, it's that great relationship that you see at the major league level because, again, really the only place you see this is in professional sports where, you know, you're bumping elbows with somebody who's, you know, 35 years old. And as you mentioned, I was 22, 23 years old at the time. So, you know, you're playing with guys that are generations ahead of you and in life. They've got families and kids and all these other things. And here you are, you know, wet behind the ears and, you know, fresh out of high school or college. And, you know, you're still playing on the same field. And, you know, my locker mate basically in Los Angeles at that period of time was Tim Wallach. And Tim was, you know, had already had a incredibly successful major league career. And, you know, he was more towards the end and here I was at the beginning and that's who they paired me next to. And they're like, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. I found myself listening to him an awful lot and not talking too much.
My guest today is Todd Hollingsworth. He's a color analyst of Fox Sports Florida covering the Miami Marlins. Let's get into this Marlin team a little bit. Last weekend, the Giants went to Miami and lost 2 out of 3. And on the third game, Starling Marte looked like it was oblique. The MRI shows a cracked rib. On Friday, he hits a home run. On Saturday, he hits a base hit. And sure enough, the Giants were struggling. They finally won the third game. Tell us your thoughts on this injury and how much this devastates the offense.
Well, it certainly is going to be felt up and down the lineup. I mean, Marte was off to a fantastic start. He was playing at an all-star caliber. In fact, you know, really doing everything on the field, you know, up until the power. And that's kind of the interesting thing about it. We rave about, you know, Marte. And, of course, we acquired him late last year, and he was a big part of what we did down the stretch and getting into the postseason. And, you know, Marte is kind of the guy who throughout his career really hasn't missed a whole lot of time for anything that's maybe injury related, if you know what I mean. So Marte has just played at a very, very high level. And, you know, losing him is going to sting just a little bit. And to your point, a couple of home runs right before the injury. So it was almost like even the power was starting to come back around. And, yeah, he's not somebody that we can replace in our lineup. We don't have Starling Marte waiting on the bench to come into the ball game. So what you can hope to do is replace him in a variety of ways. And, of course, you know, we've got Miguel Rojas has done a fantastic job and has been taking the bulk of the at-bats in the number two hole. So where Marte had been most of the season, we really haven't lost a whole lot, at least in terms of production, at least offensively in the two hole of now. But of course we had to put, you know, Rojas, we had to move him up in the lineup into the two spot. So somebody else got to replace him a little bit farther down. And maybe we got a little bit weaker at the bottom of the lineup, but it's been a little bit more mix and match.
Well, I tell you what, Todd, there was one player in that three-game series as well as the last two games, just electric, and that's Jazz Chisholm. Gold chains flowing, the blue hair. He's got speed. He's got excitement. He brings life to the bench. What more do I need to know about this kid? Because I tell you what, he's good for baseball.
Yeah, he really is, and he's so much fun to watch. And, you know, I know the Giants fans are going to enjoy watching him play, and I know that Major League Baseball fans are going to enjoy watching him play for a very, very long time. This is a young, vibrant player who's got a lot of personality, who lets that personality out on the field. Who, and I continue to say on air, you know, this guy's playing at a different speed, and it's not a faster speed, it's a slower speed. You watch him hit, he's very calm, he's very relaxed, he's very in tune with what his body's doing, what he wants to do, how he executes. The only time that we actually see him speeding is when he's running, so that's a good thing. And he's been stealing bases and taking extra bases and playing with that passion that you love. And, you know, those are the key ingredients of exciting players. You know, he ends up on a lot of lists right now, especially with StatCast, you know, metrics and measurements, you know, as far as bat speed and foot speed and all these things, with the likes of the Otanis and the Trouts and the Acunas of the world, which, again, he doesn't have quite their resume yet, but he's building on it, and he's, of course, just starting out. But to find out, you know, that he's on these lists as far as the tools are concerned is pretty exciting for Marlins fans, because with that creates hope and optimism and the idea that he may turn into that type of player. And from what we've seen so far, whether it's turning around a 100-mile-an-hour fastball or, you know, swiping a base, it is certainly part of his game, and he wants more. He's hungry to be good at this game.
Well, I love a good pitching matchup tonight, 6:05 right here at Oracle Park. A great one. Pablo Lopez goes against the ace Kevin Gausman. Should be a great pitching matchup. Last Sunday, Pablo Lopez, boy, he put a fire to the Giants hitter, striking out 9, only walking 2. He went 6 innings, ended up getting a loss on an unearned runs, but one unearned run. But what I loved about watching him pitch, he got ahead of hitters, 15 out of 27 with a good electric fastball up to about 95. But his changeup was so, so good. It kept the hitters off balance. What did you see in that outing compared to the last one against Atlanta, where they kind of hit him pretty good in the first inning? This game, I thought he was on point from the first pitch on.
Yeah, well, and that's a great point. He always pitches well at Lone Depot Park. He's always, throughout his career, pitched particularly well at home. So there's definitely a comfort to that. His challenge a lot of times is getting out and pitching on the road and, you know, ideally keeping the ball down. It's not, you know, his stuff plays anywhere. More than anything, he speaks to confidence and overcoming, you know, personal things in his life that, you know, really, you know, wanders into the, you know, what his story's been all about. And he's overcome so many of these stories. He lost his father last year and has bounced back and really has just, you know, turned into a first class, not only baseball player or pitcher, but human being as well. And he's just absolutely beloved by this Marlins organization. But to your point, you know, his changeup was outstanding on Sunday, had really good stuff. He's got a good breaking ball, and at times we'll use that a little bit more. It's going to be interesting because, you know, the Giants and the Marlins are now going to tango, you know, and there's so much information that's just been exchanged. Of course, San Francisco was just in town. They just did a three-game series. Some of these starters are matching up. The Giants saw Pablo. So, you know, for me to say and to think that Pablo is going to come out and show you that great changeup, it certainly will be part of his arsenal. But my guess is that you guys are probably going to see a little bit more of the breaking ball, all depending on the circumstances. But that's the challenges of the big league game that you're describing. You know, when you face a team, say, for the second time, you know, in less than a week, you've got to be able to kind of change lanes a little bit and change who you are. So, you know, Giants are thinking, okay, listen, he had a great changeup. We're going to be thinking about that changeup. Maybe we'll defend, go the other way with some of those pitches. And if he can bring in a breaking ball and that's working for him that day, that's how you kind of switch gears. So he's got the ability to do that. He's got a four-pitch mix, and he trusts all four of his pitches, including both of his fastballs.
Boy, you're 100% right, Todd. When you go back-to-back against the same team, you can't come out with that same arsenal of pitches. I'm expecting to see right. a little different from him, too. And the changeup was just so – it was so hidden so well. The arm motion and the ball just fluttered right out. 9 strikeouts. That was very impressive in 6 innings. Looking for a good pitching
matchup.
To
your point, I believe every one of the strikeouts in the game was on the changeup. In fact, we had talked about it throughout the game. That's a great point. Letting my mind go back to the game, all 9 of those strikeouts actually came on the changeup.
Oh, he was fantastic. It reminded me of the old Mario Soto back in the days with the Reds right. when he had that electric one, too.
9 for 9.
Yeah, outstanding. Well, there's a closer down there that I'm very impressed with. That's Yimi Garcia. Just has really overpowered the opponents every time in there. Tell me your thoughts about him moving forward as the closer.
Yeah, Jimmy's been a stabilizing force in the Marlins bullpen. He's done really good work. And what we, you know, I think the fair thing to say is that this young man has really taken it to the next level. And I think that's what's impressed us the most with him is the simple fact that, you know, he was really good, one of the best 8th inning guys in the game. And now, you know, again, I don't want to dub him or put that kind of pressure on him to say that, you know, he's one of the better closers. But there definitely seems to be a little bit more in the tank now that he's pitching the 9th. And not the 8th so much. And we've actually been most impressed with that over the last couple of weeks is the ability to, you know, come into a ball game, throw 96, 98 miles an hour, throw the slider early in the count to get hitters off the scent of his fastball, and then to put hitters away late at the top of the zone. This is a guy who's had a lot of success. He's been raised, you know, through that Dodger organization. The Marlins got their hands on him a couple of seasons ago, and he's really adapted to the culture and the way that the Marlins go about the business. But there's a lot that goes on his shoulders because this is a bullpen that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, being the stabilizing force just before the Giants series last weekend, Marlins bullpen was going through a bit of a transition because they just were having some inconsistencies with guys and kind of everybody trying to find their role. But once they found that, you know, Yimi could handle the 9th, it's allowed everybody else to fall in line and kind of take over other innings. So when you speak to somebody's value, it's not just always in what they do personally, but in a lot of ways, the collective conversation about the bullpen, and he has been all of that for the Marlins.
You know, watching this offense that Miami throws out there, they're not hitting a long ball. They're 29th of all teams hitting the long ball. Their average is in the 240s. Still, they're still getting productive runs and winning games. What about this long right. ball? Is that a drought that the Marlins are in, or is this something they're going to get out of?
Well, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the answer, and I think the Giants go through some of this as well, right? So here's what it typically happens. There's a lot of games at home when they're at Lone Depot Park, which is one of the most pitcher, you know, friendly parks that you're going to find in the National League. And so at home, they don't hit nearly as many home runs as they do on the road. They go on the road, they hit a few more home runs. And so they'll jump from, say, 29th to 25th, and they'll kind of start catching up on a few people because they got some sluggers. I mean, they really do. But what ends up happening is that, you know, so they'll make a jump. And, you know, let's say they go on our recently concluded 6-game road trip, which was before our homestand. I think there was 9 or 10 home runs in five games. So, I mean, you're averaging almost 2 a game. Come back home, don't hit those home runs. So now that they're getting ready to go back out on the road, maybe those home runs start to reappear. Of course, San Francisco, certainly not an easy place to hit home runs. So we'll see. But the one thing that they pride themselves on, and I do see some of this with the Giants, and I thought about this over the weekend, aggressive on the bases. And that's exactly what they do really, really well, is that they do take the extra base. They do think ahead, they try to create offense. They will steal a base. They'll put guys in motion with the idea of creating some offense. And the best thing that they're good at, one of the best teams in baseball with 2 outs. It seems like every time they get an opportunity to drive in a run, I believe it currently they're in the top 5 in baseball at driving in a run with 2 outs. They're very, very good about that. So they don't give it bats away, but they're a little bit more offensive, at least in terms of contact, less about the long ball.
Well, Todd, you have a great call tonight at the game tonight against the Marlins and the Giants. Once again, not thanking you once, but thanking you twice because I got to talk to you for 2 straight weekends, my friend. You be well, be safe, and good luck to the Marlins as well as yourself.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me. It's been great to be with you the last couple weekends.
Thanks, Todd. That's Todd Hollingsworth here on Talkin' Baseball. We'll be right back on 104.5 680 KNBR, the sports leader.